have three different titles for today's message. They're all the same. One is, what if? What if? The other one was, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Or, just maybe. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, the Philistines, they had gathered to fight against Israel. And they had gathered a really large army. It was about 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen. And the people were as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and they pitched in Michmash, eastward of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, and the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. You can find that in 1 Samuel chapter 13, 5 and 6. The position that the Philistines had put Israel into was they had overwhelmed them with a massive army, had scared Israel so bad that the soldiers started to hide in caves and holes and anywhere they could find just so they wouldn't be seen, because they knew that the enemy was so powerful, so strong, that it was going to take them out permanently. They were living in a place where the Philistines had such power and such control over the times that the Israelites lived in a state of permanent fear. There was a level of fear that was so ingrained, it had been going on for so long that they were just in this place of absolute torment and fear. If you would turn in your scriptures to 1 Samuel chapter 14. Starting with verse 6. First Samuel 14, verse 6. You know, I know this is not normally our custom, but I really like this. Would you stand with me this morning as we read the Word of God? While we're getting ready for that, we've been talking for the last few months now about rethink, retool, relaunch. And I said in the first service, I don't know that that is ever going to actually come to an end where the door is closed and we have passed it. We will probably be in a certain place permanently. Doesn't mean we are not going to get to a place where we can move forward. I feel like today is the beginning of a new launch forward. It's not the day that we've sat down with all the department heads. It's not the day and planned. And it's not the day that we figured everything out the way we're going to do this and strategize about how it's going to happen and have some, you know, big relaunch service, but I do believe that today is a day where there has been something that has happened in the Spirit to relaunch us already. So rethink, retool, relaunch is probably going to be a part of what we're talking about forever. First Samuel 14, verse 6 says this, "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, 'Come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised.'" I'm just going to throw the word in there so you realize that he was talking about the Philistines. "It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." There's that maybe. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. "And his armor bearer said unto him, 'Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart.' Then said Jonathan, 'Behold, we will pass over these unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us.' And both of them discovered themselves in the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, 'Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they have hidden themselves.' And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, 'Come up to us, and we will show you a thing.' And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, 'Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel.'" Heavenly Father, we love you this morning, and we honor you, and we thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and to our minds and to our spirits and souls today, that we may hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to each and every one of us individually and as a church. We give you all the honor and all the glory for your precious holy name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 6, Jonathan says, maybe. He finds himself in a situation that's very similar to a lot of ours. In our Christian walk, in everyday life, even for that matter, we get to the place where we go, you know what? I've made enough mistakes. I've stepped off in the wrong direction. I've done the wrong stuff. I want to know without a shadow of a doubt that God has given me the direction that I'm supposed to go in. How many like to live in that place where you know without a shadow of a doubt God has said, "Thus saith the Lord"? I love that song. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word." It's so sweet to know, "Thus saith the Lord." Let me tell you something. There are people who travel all over the planet to hear a prophet speak a word of the Lord to them because they need to have very clear direction. You may have. I've gone to places where I was praying, "God, I really need to hear a word from you. Could you just send somebody to say something? Give me some confirmation." We've talked recently about Gideon. Gideon had, what, 3 or 4 different times where he's like, "Okay, God, I know what you think. I think I know what you said, but I would really like to know one more time for to make sure that I'm not crazy. Could you just show me one more time? Like, make the fleece wet and make the ground around it dry." And the next day, "Can you make the ground around it wet and the fleece dry? And then can you tell the enemy that we're going to win so that when I go down there, they're scared and they tell me that they're scared?" Sometimes it's really, really nice to know specific direction from God. But let me tell you a secret that I'm in the process of learning. Most of the time, our Christian walk is walked out in maybes. Maybe. And I believe that God blesses our maybes if our heart is in the right direction. God will bless us even if we make a mistake. God will bless us because our heart is in tune with Him and our heart is right with Him. Listen, God is a big God and He has the capability of speaking to us, but we are human and there are times when we're talking about semantics today. There are times when the semantics of God, when He speaks to us, we don't get it. We think we get it. We think we understand what He's saying, but sometimes it's just a maybe. Sometimes we're not really sure. We think we heard. It wasn't one of them boisterous, I want you to go to Macedonia. It wasn't like that. It was like, it's that really still small voice, and usually we don't get quiet enough to hear that. I believe it's okay for us to understand that we're walking in a maybe. If it doesn't cross over to we're walking in doubt. See, doubt is the opposite of faith. We can walk carefully because we're in a maybe. We're not really positive. We think. We're pretty sure, but we're not positive. We're in that place of maybe. What if? Afterwards, it could be a woulda, or a coulda, or a shoulda. We like guarantees. We like things to be a sure thing. We're going to invest our finances or our time, our energy, our efforts, our education. If we're going to invest that, it's kind of nice to know that it's a sure thing. And sometimes God allows us those sure things. But sometimes it's just a maybe. The thing is, as a child of God, even a maybe can be incredible because He's got us in the palm of His hands. He is our safety net. If we step out in the wrong direction, He is the one who's going to be there to protect us and guide us and direct us. A maybe is good with God. As long as we don't cross over into doubt. Hebrews 11:6, faith is identified as a prerequisite for pleasing God. We talked about faith in the first session today. And I mentioned, I wasn't really planning on talking about it, but I mentioned the fact that there's a difference between living in faith and walking by faith. And the semantics of that basically would be being comfortable with where we are, knowing that God has got us under His protection and we're under control, but not stretching our faith, not pushing out to the outer limits of our faith, growing in our faith. And Hebrews chapter 11 says, it takes faith to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, it says. Sometimes We have to move out on a maybe. There are times when you have to step out by faith. That means you will not be sure. To wait until you're sure is not moving by faith. All you may have is a maybe. But I believe the Lord would say to us this morning that if you begin to move out on the maybe, I will turn your maybe into a miracle. Say that with me. He's going to turn our maybes into a miracle. Wow. On Friday, the first day of this year, I was setting the chairs up for today, and I had an encounter like Pastor Elwood talked about, turning around in the barn one day and walking into the presence of God. And I had one of those encounters as I was moving the chairs around. Have you ever heard God speak to you in a way that, I don't want to say it was mumble jumble, but it was so much information so fast that it kind of got a little bit garbled? To be able to say it back, it's not real flowy. It just kind of, there was so much information so fast. And I've been praying a lot and thinking a lot and planning and preparing about the media ministry that I believe that God has called us into on the scale that we can do it. And I was overwhelmed by the presence of God. And out of that, I believe one of the lines I could say is this. It's time for us to start praying for those who are going to see this on video, online. It's time for us to start praying for them now. We have been a church that has been prophesied many times from before any of us were here. And while we've been here, it's been prophesied many times that this is going to be a hospital for the spiritually abused. That this is going to be a place where people can come and be restored. And I believe that wholeheartedly. And taking nothing away from that whatsoever, as believers, it is our responsibility, it is our duty to reach outside of the four walls of this church to minister to people that we come in contact with, and sometimes even people we don't know. There are people that are hurting and will never, until they've been healed, walk through the doors of a church. I don't care if we're the friendliest church around. They won't walk through the doors because it says we're a church. I don't care if there's people falling out and being healed every Sunday. They're not walking in the place because it's still a church. Until we have made it available for them, for the presence of God to minister to them right where they are. It was such an overwhelming experience that instantly my eyes just completely welled up. And I knew that it was the presence of God. There was no doubt about it. It wasn't a maybe. It was a for sure. Sometimes, even in those for sure moments, the interpretation may be a maybe. What I get out of it may be a maybe. But I know that the encounter was not a maybe. God has called us to be a church that is more than just a place where we come and sit. and listen to some decent music and listen to some decent teaching or preaching or fellowship one another. He's called us to more than that. Amen? Amen? He's called us for more than that. Look, I've said this many times, and I'm probably going to say it many, many more times. We could have been born any time in history. But God saw fit. He purposed in his heart before we were born that this would be a good time for us to be here. It was just random. Just a random, oh, I'll just send this few down there for now. I don't believe that. I don't believe God does anything that's just completely random. Everything he does has a purpose. Everything he does has a plan. Everything he does, there's a reason behind it. And he saw fit to bring this group of people together for a reason. Told you all, I saw maybe a month ago, I looked at the stats of how many people had come to the website. And at that time, we had just started putting up preaching on audio. And it was about 2,600, somewhere around there. Since that time, we've had another 200 plus unique people come. Logically, there are some who maybe have clicked on our website by accident. Didn't mean to. They were looking for someplace else. They were looking for some kind of sanctuary where they could go and feed the animals. I don't know. Seriously, I don't know. And there are some who may just be nosy. They went to they go to other churches in the area, and they just want to know what in the world's going on over there. That's a possibility. But if there are a few who are looking for answers, wow, that's a responsibility on us. God has opened up a whole new avenue to minister to hurting people. You can say, look, I know, but that's just like you and Pastor Brad and Pastor Elwood and maybe some of the musicians. Let me tell you something. As we learn to go through this next phase that we're going through, your testimony is important. Have you ever been in a place where you thought, man, I just wish I wish I was in a place where I could give my testimony and let people hear what God has done for me? And I don't mean one of those, 2-minute things. I mean, really give my testimony and tell the story about how God saved me or how God healed me. But I haven't had the opportunity. The doors haven't opened for that yet. We are in the beginning stages of those doors swinging wide open. God has a purpose and a plan for us that is so much bigger and so much greater than we ever thought possible. It's outside of our ability to comprehend. That was on Friday. Friday evening, I went downstairs and we got a new cable package for the parsonage area, and now we have Christian television. And I flipped on one of the channels and they were talking about how they got started. I went, huh, that's interesting. And a few hours later, I clicked on another one and they were talking about how they got started. Now, these are places that are massively big, huge. I mean, they're all around the world. But they had to start somewhere. And some of the things they started with was terrible. I mean, not good at all. God is calling us to be able to minister outside of the four walls of this church. He's calling us to a level of maturity that is beyond where we are now for all of us. And if all we have to go on is just a maybe, I believe it's time for us to step out in faith on the maybe and watch God's blessings turn that maybe into a miracle. In the story we read today, we find the actions of a couple that changed the course of the whole army. It put momentum into the rest who were waiting for someone to step out in faith and believe God for the victory. Even defectors came back to the fight. It brought unity back into Israel, because what had happened is when Jonathan and his armor bearer went up to the garrison, they wiped out the garrison, just the two of them. Wiped out the garrison. And when the army of Israel heard about it, something snapped in them, and they started to believe. And they came out of their holes, they came out of their caves, and they started taking on the Philistines where they were. Not only did they, but those who had deserted and had left the army and were hiding outside of, they came back. And they started fighting again. And it made a huge change in the destiny of Israel for that time period. God has called us for this time period to do something great for the kingdom, not just get by, not just survive. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Not to just survive, but to thrive and to accomplish great and mighty things for the kingdom. Not because we are so awesome, but because He is awesome. Not because we're so great, but because He is great. And if we truly believe that He is awesome and that He is great and He is powerful and He wants to minister to people, what does He use for that? He uses us. He uses people to minister to people. Amen? Our actions can change the course of this church and the church in this valley. I had a little bit of a blurb in the bulletin today. Christmas came and passed, and the tree was up. When everything was over, there was still one gift under the tree. It had gotten missed. It was, I believe it was Scott's, and he was in Florida at the time. They had opened their gifts before they went down, but that one somehow or another got missed into the stack. And so when Christmas was over, I believe it was still there on New Year's Day, underneath the tree was still a Christmas present. It looked so lonely. It really did. It looked like somebody had stepped on it. It looked like it got thrown around a little bit, a little tattered. I believe Peyton might have stepped on it that day. And I thought, man, how many gifts, how many things has God given to us that we just left under the tree? We just left unopened. He's given us abilities and talents. He's given us callings. He's given us giftings, and we're leaving them all wrapped up. I think today would be a really good day to say, God, whatever you've given me, whatever talent, whatever ability, whatever you've given to me, I want to open it up. I want to become everything that you've called me to be. I want to do everything that you've called me to do. I don't want to just get by. I don't want to have to say woulda, coulda, shoulda tomorrow. I want to say yesterday I did all that I could do. Yesterday I stepped up to the plate. And that could mean, I'm sure hospitality could use a few more people. I know Sunday school could use some more people. I know that the youth could probably use a little more help when they go to do stuff. And you have gifts and talents that you haven't even unwrapped. And if you did unwrap them, it was a while ago and they're stuck in your closet. I think today would be a good day to get them out, dust them off, make sure they still work and the batteries are good. Right? Say, God, I want to be all you've called me to be. I want to be everything that I could possibly be for you. I want to see change happen. First here in the Susquehanna Valley, and I truly believe the world. I don't know why, I don't know where it came from, but I know for years since we've gotten here, I've prayed, Lord, first here in the Susquehanna Valley, then the world. It wasn't a boastful thing, I promise you. It wasn't a, like, I'm going to, you know, do something to change the world. It wasn't that. It just, the words just came out a lot, almost every time I prayed. I look back at it now, and I believe that was a prophetic voice. God, allow us to make a change first here in the Susquehanna Valley. Let us do what we need to do right here. But Lord, let it impact the whole world. Would you stand with me this morning? God has called us to be agents of change. I don't know about you. Did something leap inside of you when I said that? Did you feel that when I said it? God has called us to be agents of change. He's called us to be more than what we ever thought possible, to do more than we ever thought possible. Repeat after me. I am special. One more time. I am special. God has chosen me to be a child of the Most High God. Whew. You're not a cookie cutter Christian. Day before Christmas, Sydney said, I'm going to make some Christmas cookies. I can't make Christmas cookies. I don't have any of the cookie cutters. I said, make the cookies. We'll use a glass and we'll just, you know, make them round. And she didn't want to do that. She did it, thank God. She didn't want to do that because they were all just going to be the same. Let me tell you something today. You are not a cookie cutter Christian. You are not the same as the person standing next to you. You are uniquely created differently on purpose. God has called you to be different on purpose. Unique, special. Maybe even a little strange. For His glory. For His honor. Heavenly Father, we love You. We pray, Lord, that Your blessings would flow. That when we step out on the maybe, You turn it into a miracle. Lord, there are those of us who have been sitting on the sideline waiting to get involved, waiting to be a part of, checking the temperature of the pool maybe. Lord, I pray that You would give us the desire to just dive in. Just absolutely dive in on a maybe. And trust You completely. Lord, I pray that You would touch our lives. I pray blessings upon Your people. I pray, Lord, that You would touch the lives of everyone that is under the sound of my voice. That You would strengthen us, encourage us. That Your blessings would flow freely. As we look to this new year, as agents of change, for Your glory, for Your honor, in Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed in Jesus' name.